Hello, everybody. My name is Kenton DeYoung, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dylan Fairman.
Hello.
And this is a Patreon-exclusive episode of Unsolved Canadian Mysteries. So, Dylan, how you been?
I have been great, Kenton. How have you been?
I'm good. Busy.
The last one sounded like pissy. Sounded like you went, busy, pissy.
Busy, pissy. No.
Are you in a pissy mood, Kenton?
No, a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. But no, just mostly busy. We put out two episodes last time. One was, I don't recall what we put out last time.
It was a mummy.
Right, it was a mummy.
And the alien in the field with the
radiation. The Langenberg one. Yes, I love that one so much.
Yeah, oh, it was good.
The mummy one was good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, check it out and let us know your thoughts because we didn't get much feedback on that episode.
Which one?
The mummy one was.
The mummy one? The mummy one? That was Patreon?
I believe so.
Dude, we're so bad.
What was that?
As real as it can be.
I like the mummy one. I like there's like the paranormal murder aspect to it. But the UFO one, I love UFOs.
I like anywhere you like do extra investigation.
Yes.
A little journalism.
Like, when you call someone and see. Yeah. Yeah.
When you're playing phone tag with librarians. I don't
know. One thing changed between our last episode and now. In the meantime, I actually received my diploma in ufology.
Oh, you are now an expert.
An expert.
Wow. Good job.
I don't know what a job opportunities will come up.
What can you do with that?
Not much. There's a surprising, not a lot of funding in ufology right now. Yeah.
Weird.
There used to be in like the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, but then they realized, oh, we found some. Let's not try and find anymore.
We're good. We're done.
Yeah.
It was actually, we're diverging here, but it's okay. it was funny to research about it. And like the United States government looked into UFOs and they pretty much determined, we don't know what they are, but they're not a threat. So we're closing the case on it. Mm. I'm like, that's okay. Well, we really don't know, but they don't seem to be causing any problems. So we'll let it fly around up there. And
yeah. If they don't bother us, we won't bother them.
That's pretty much it, yeah. It's, I don't know what it'll get me career-wise, but it's fun to put on a resume.
Yeah, a little bit. I wonder, that can't hurt you at all, can it?
No.
I don't think so.
Oh, so he has this and this and, oh.
If anything, it'll be like, they'll ask you, like, what is this?
Yeah, yeah. I once had a job, and in my resume, or my cover letter, I was a little sarcastic. Because I've read that you should, like, try and have a different cover letter than everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Really sell yourself. So I really sold myself, like, over the top. And I had an interview, because he thought it wasn't serious, and he wanted to check in and make sure I was, like, a real person.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't get the job, though, but I got an interview, so.
Hey.
That's halfway.
It worked.
Yeah,
for that.
Yeah. Are you ready for tonight's episode?
I don't know.
It's kind of scary, kind of weird.
Okay. Well, then yes.
Okay.
Where is it?
Where does it take place?
Yeah.
Oh. So tonight's episode takes place in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Oh.
We're kind of hopping across the country here. We did Alberta and Saskatchewan, and now we're doing Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I guess technically it starts in Toronto, that's where the guy's born, but it ends in Winnipeg. The whole thing takes place in Winnipeg. It's kind of cool because this time in Winnipeg's history, the turn of the century, Winnipeg was really growing, and there's a lot of talk because of its geographic location in the world or in Canada, North America. It's kind of in the center, right?
Yeah.
Because people usually think Saskatchewan's more in the center, but because Ontario and Quebec are so big, actually it's Manitoba and Winnipeg.
Right.
And you know, back in Indigenous days, it was the center as well of trade route. So around the turn of the 20th century, Winnipeg, because of its geographic location in the middle of Canada, was considered like the center of the New World.
Wow.
I read somewhere they had one of the busiest docks in North America because of all the rivers.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
of ships, river boats are coming in, going out. Like, it was very busy.
That's cool. That's cool.
And that goes even way back to like the Indigenous time when they had like trading networks and that kind of thing. It was like the main hub.
Mm.
So in the early 20th century, a lot of people were coming there and the city was growing and it was booming. And they even had this idea of like different cultures and religions mixing into it and like the rise of like mysticism and spirituality in the city. Now, Winnipeg is not known for any of that now. Like, not for a booming city, not for mysticism, not for spiritualism, none of that stuff.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was like, this is the center of the new world. This is going to be, like, the capital. We could go into that rabbit hole really far. But that's not too relevant, but just kind of set up the stage and why some of these things happened. In 1873, Thomas Glendening Hamilton was born in Toronto. Mm. Then he moved to Saskatchewan, was kind of raised up in Saskatoon.
Oh, really? Okay.
When he was a bit older, he moved to Manitoba, and he settled in Winnipeg to go to the University of Manitoba.
This could have almost been a Saskatchewan story.
Almost. So close. Mm. But I don't think we had the proper university system set up just yet.
Yeah.
Because we didn't become a province until 1905. So, and he married Lillian, his wife, in 1910. So he's already settled in Manitoba at that point.
Right.
So, yeah.
He's put down some roots.
Yep. So he married Lillian, 1905, and they had four children, Margaret, Glenn, and then twins, Arthur and James.
Do you tell a lot of stories involving twins? Maybe not. For some reason, I think you've said twins a few times, but maybe I'm just like, maybe I just think twins are generally weird.
I'm trying to think. Twins. I think there was twins.
I just
twins.
Think of The Shining.
I think there was twins in another story, but
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
If either. There's ghosts and you have twins, you're fucked.
You pretty much, yeah. Anytime you bring in children and ghosts, yeah. And especially multiple children of the same age,
Yeah.
Was it one when the family got killed off?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But I think you're right. I think there was a story with a twin in it. But the story, the twins in this one, actually, they're kind of relevant.
Perfect.
In 1918, while T.J. Hamilton was working at the University of Manitoba as a professor and a doctor, one of his colleagues went to the United States for a visit and then returned, really excited about an experience he had. While he was down there, he met with a medium named Pearl Curran.
Curran.
I don't know my mediums at all, so I don't know what level of fame Pearl Curran has. Maybe someone watching knows, like, oh, that's this amazing medium, but I don't know who it was. But whoever this woman was really impressed his colleague. And he wanted to talk all about, like, life after death and spiritualism and contacting the dead.
Do you have to say it with that kind of tone, Kenton? The hippie kind of, you know, I can kind of detect that a little bit, what you were saying there.
Well, I don't know. It was one time I got my fortune told, okay? Yeah,
right.
I was in Japan, and it was this weird thing.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it's a cool place to get it told, but it's not the best story. So I'll tell you why. So I was in Japan. I went to this old shrine. I don't know if it was Buddhist or Shinto, whatever shrine, but it was a shrine. And then we would, like, pull the stick out and then take it somewhere else and put it in and then, like, pull a drawer.
Right.
And pull out your fortune.
Right.
So, like, there's no human interaction. Like, it's all fate or chance, right? So I pulled out my fortune, and of course, it's in Japanese, right? So I took it to our guide. I'm like, hey, can you translate this for me, tell me what it says? And the guy, like, looks at it. She says, I'm not going to translate this. It's all bad news. And I'm like, well, give me that, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I went around, and I found a couple of young Japanese girls.
Yeah.
I figured I knew that younger people speak English. So I asked them, can you translate this for me? And they were reading it, and they were giggling away. And they did translate it for me, but it was all bad news. Like, your business is going to fail. This is going to go wrong.
You're
going to
get run over by a horse and carriage, not just a car.
Yeah, it was just everything. So since then, I'm like, I don't get my fortune told because I don't want extra validation in that. I'm just going to assume that everything I do is going to go bad. So,
oh my God, Ken.
And if it goes well, then that's a surprise.
I don't need anyone to tell me how bad my life's going to be.
It's fine. So when I hear this story of psychics and mediums and this kind of thing, I'm like, okay, that's what you want to believe. But I have heard people who have gone to, I'll tell you a story.
Mm-hmm.
So when my mom was younger, she went to go see a medium in their small town.
Okay.
And the medium, I don't know if it was tea leaves or palm reading or what, said something to her like, oh, you had a brother. And my mom's like, nope.
Nope.
And she's like, yeah, no, you definitely had a brother. And mom's like, I did not have a brother, right? Or she didn't say it. I'm not sure what her reaction was, but she didn't have one. So then this lady told her all these other things about her life, right? But of course, she's not paying attention to any of it because the woman's a kook, right?
Yeah.
So she gets home and she tells her mom, she's grandma, and she's like, I went to this fortune teller or this, and she told me I had a brother and all this stuff. And my grandma's like, well, I never told you, but your brother died and was stillborn.
Oh.
So she did have a brother that she didn't know about.
Mm.
So my mom now wishes she would have listened to what the psychic also said, because maybe she did tell her something else, right?
Interesting.
So, like, I mean, the chances of that is pretty rare. So maybe some people, like maybe this Pearl Current, can do these things, but
yeah.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a believer of psychics, but...
Nor am I.
But, you know, people are. There's been some stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this colleague tells T.J. Hamilton all about this time he had in the States with Pearl Current, and T.J. says, yo, okay, thanks for the story, right? And life carries on. This is 1918. That same year, the Spanish influenza hit Canada.
Mm.
Globally, but in that time period is when it hit Manitoba.
Your topic.
Yeah, my topic, but we won't go too far into that.
Okay.
I do know that Manitoba and Winnipeg were hit very, very bad.
Mm.
Number-wise, thousands were dead, I think. Like 2,000 or something like that. Like a lot more than here. But it was a bigger city, right? Like we were a small city at the time, but they were a growing, bustling city. One of the people who died during the Spanish influenza was one of their twin sons, one of the boys. And this really devastated the Hamilton family.
Yeah.
Right. It makes sense. But the conversation T.G. had with his colleague earlier that year came back to him. And him and his wife began the idea of dabbling into the paranormal.
Great.
Right.
That always works out.
Always goes well.
Yeah.
Yep.
When in doubt, call some ghosts.
Yeah. So they did what anyone who wants to dabble with the undead does, and they began using Ouija boards.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, yeah. Again, great idea.
Really, it's the best way to really open that door.
Toys R Us sells it, it's okay.
Hey, I would have started off with tarot cards or tea leaves or anything, but no, let's... Straight into Ouija boards. And it could have been something to do with what was going on in Winnipeg at the time with all the talk of spiritualism. It's like, yeah, everyone else is doing this. Let's get on it.
Right.
I don't know. They're using Ouija boards for some time until about 1920 when they had their Scottish nanny, Elizabeth Poole, kind of come in and work as a medium with them. And what they decided to do then was retire the Ouija board and move to a thing called table tapping. So think of it's like, you're sitting around a table conjuring a spirit, and you know how like when you're doing charades and you're like A, B, C, and then they nod and it's A, B, C, right? Same idea, but they go through the letters and the spirits would tap on the table.
Morse code.
Yeah, well, just normal. But yeah, it's like a thump on the table. Okay. Okay, that's the letter, right? This then changed and they moved into telekinesis, which is the ability to move things with your mind. So it's taking quite a leap, right? And TG wanted to further study this. So they set aside a room in their house with no windows, no access to the outside world. And this is where they would conduct these seances. And on the one wall of the room, they had a wall of cameras. All cameras pointing towards the table and the people conducting the seance, where they could very easily take a picture and record whatever came up.
Mm.
And they also had people writing like minutes of what happened. Like TJ says this. Lillian says this. Elizabeth Poole says this.
Like a meeting.
Yeah, exactly, right? That was a portion of the paranormal photography of T.G. Hamilton on our exclusive Patreon. If you enjoyed the episode, come to Patreon and subscribe and see the whole thing.